Well, as we come together this morning and we anticipate the Lord's table, I want us, as been our practice for the last number of weeks, to just take a few moments together in the Word in order that hopefully we would knit our hearts together thinking about what one central truth this morning, that all of us in our minds and all of us in our hearts are thinking about one great truth. I'm sorry, that kept going up. And I want you to turn to the passage of Scripture that Pastor Rodney read at the beginning of the service, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, as our text this morning. We're going to really be looking at verses 20 through 31. He read for us verses 18 through 31, but I want to concentrate in here on verses 20 through 31. And as you're turning to that passage of Scripture, I want you to think for a moment about the things that you've heard people boasting about in your life. Maybe think about the things that you have boasted about. You know, kids, you know what it means to boast, right? Somebody who kind of puffs up their chest and says, I'm really good at what? And kind of has that self-satisfied feeling like, I'm better than you at whatever. That's a boaster. What things have you boasted about in your lifetime? I'd like to say that I can boast about my golf score, but I can't. I'd like to say that I can boast about my intellect, but in the end, I really can't. I'd like to say that I can boast about my athletic ability. And try as I may, my body cannot back up what my mouth spews out. People boasting about athletic ability, academic prowess, economic achievement. I make this much money a year. I'm the CEO of this. I've done that, and we boast about, people boast about their kids. People boast about their grandkids. People boast about their looks, their homes, their cars. What things have you ever heard people boasting about? What things have you boasted about? We come to the book of 1 Corinthians and we find something true from the very outset. The Corinthians were a boastful bunch. I don't know that any of us would have really liked to have been around the Corinthians. Nobody likes to be around that guy, right? The guy who always one-ups you. The guy, if you've achieved two, he's achieved three. If you've done this once, he's done it six times. The Corinthians were just like that. They were a boastful bunch of people, proud and self-satisfied and arrogant in themselves. And the reality was, this, we're talking about the church. Can you imagine being in a group of people who call themselves Christians and who boast, who are arrogant, who are prideful? These people had lots of gifts. I mean, gifts. They had lots of privileges. And there they were. They sat there on their high horse looking down their long nose at everybody else, just looking down on them and boasting, boasting, boasting. The Corinthians boasted in their gifts. They boasted in their abilities. They boasted in their privileges. But in particular, what stood out to the Apostle Paul as he wrote this first letter to the Corinthians was their boasting in their teachers. This society loved wisdom. They loved these eloquent messages. And they were really given to that. And so that would cause them to want to boast in, especially the church. The church you know, just a little bit removed from the world. They come out of that background where they're boasting in their in wisdom and all that kind of stuff. And now, so what that kind of plays out into the church where they start boasting about their teachers. People say, well, there was a whole section in the Corinthian church. They were followers of Apollos. You remember Apollos, don't you? He was the one who could speak boldly. I mean, the words just rolled right off of his tongue, and there was great power and great effect, and he was a great orator as he spoke the gospel. And there were people who would say, we really like Apollos. We're the Apollos party. And others were, not to be outdone, they said, well, you like the eloquence, but I tell you who we follow Peter. We've got some standards. Peter, you know, Peter tended towards shaded towards that more Jewish legalism sort of thing. We got some standards, and there are people who are following Peter because of his strictness. And still others would say, nah, we are followers of the Apostle Paul. We love the message of grace so much that we're the party of Paul. It got so bad that there were some who would even seem to boast in their saying, we don't follow Apollos. We don't follow Peter. We don't follow Paul. We need no teachers. We follow Christ. And it sounds really good, doesn't it? But you can just see their chest swelling up with pride as they're saying it, can't you? You can just see them holding their chin high and saying, we don't need teachers. We follow Jesus. And you know, not much has changed in the church in the last 2,000 years. The church, by and large, is the same today. We all have our pet teachers. We all have we love the way this guy does this, and we love the way this guy does this, and we allow that to become our distinction. And ultimately, what happened in the church at Corinth is it became an issue of boasting. I'm a card-carrying member of the Apollos party. I'm a card-carrying member of the Peter party. I'm a card-carrying member of the Paul party. I don't need a card. I just follow Jesus, you know, or whatever it might be. There were three things that really, when it boils down to, the Corinthians were making their boast in. They could make their boast in their acuity, their wisdom. Some would make their boast in their nobility, their worth, and some would make their boast in their ability, their works. Their acuity, their nobility, and their ability. Their wisdom, their worth, and their works. And I want to challenge you this morning as we come to the Lord's table to consider what has become your boast. What has become your reason for praise? Your reason for, can I say it this way, bragging this morning? Some of us have lots of reasons. We're bragging. Some of us say, I don't brag. No, I am humble. Trust me. You got to be pretty humble to out-humble me. You know, I don't need to boast. What is it that you're boasting about? Well, I want to say this, that the call to come to the Lord's table as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ is a call to boast. But not to boast in your acuity, not to boast in your nobility, and not to boast in your ability. It's a call to boast in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? As Paul, remember that passage of Scripture, Pastor Rodney read it to us, as he closes there in verse 31 at the end of the chapter, he quotes from Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, and he says, let him who boasts, boast in what? The Lord. Why do we boast in the Lord? Can I give you three reasons we boast in the Lord this morning as we come to the Lord's table? Number one, we boast in the Lord because of the cross that we preach. We boast, we make our praise centers in the Lord because of the cross that we preach. He says this here in verses 18 through 25, particularly verses 20 through 25. It is the message of the cross that confronts the wisdom of man. It's the message of the cross that confronts the wisdom of man. Why would you boast in worldly earthly human wisdom. Why would you boast in your ability? That to say you boast in your wisdom or your acuity is to say that you boast in your ability to understand things and put things all in a line and to make them sound perfectly and to roll your R's right off your tongue and make everything kind of nice and neat. Paul says, we boast in the Lord because, first of all, the cross that we preach. The cross that we preach directly confronts the wisdom of man. How so? Because the cross of Christ, listen, and what he shows us here in this passage, as Rodney read, what he shows us here is that the cross of Christ is used by God to make the wisdom of man foolish. What do we mean? The wisdom of man says, here's how you become successful. Here's how you show yourself to be significant. Here's how you make a name for yourself in the world. Look out for number one. Be all about you. But the cross of Christ says that the way to be successful and the way to be significant, the way to essentially to protect your life is to lose your life, is to come to the cross of Christ where God demonstrates his greatest wisdom. The world says this is moronic. In fact, the word for foolish here is just the word from the word moriah, from which we get the word moronic. The world looks at the gospel and says, wait, you're going to tell me, let me get this right, that you're trusting in the Son of God, 100% God, who took on human flesh to the degree that he is 100% man, who lived a perfectly sinless life, worked miracles, walked on water, and then the Roman soldiers came and they took him and they nailed him to a cross, and you're going to tell me you are going to trust in that man, that God-man, for your eternal salvation, who hung there suspended between heaven and earth, naked, nailed to a cross, beaten and bloodied? That makes no sense. No way will I submit myself to a beaten and bloodied Savior. That's moronic. And we're saying today that the reason that we make our boast in the Lord is because of the cross. Because we've understood this gospel, that it was on the cross that God laid on him my sin and your sin, that Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died on that cross, paying the price for my sin and your sin, taking upon himself the wrath of God. And that's my boast. And there is nothing in that message that elevates me. There's nothing in that message that puffs me up. There's nothing in that message that makes me feel, I got it all together. Hey, look at me. He says the Jews, they always want a sign. They want something, they want some kind of proof to me who you are. And the Greeks, they demand for wisdom. Convince me. And he says, all we're going to do is we're going to preach the message of the gospel, the death, the burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ crucified on the cross as your only hope of salvation, without a sign, without a wonder, without a convincing wisdom. This is the message of the gospel. Why do we boast in the Lord? We boast in the Lord today as we come to the Lord's table because of the cross that we preach. Not about man's wisdom, but God's. In God's mind, in God's eternal economy, in God's eternal redemptive economy, he planned it out to have his wrath satisfied by his own Son, who was afflicted in our place. That's the redemptive economy of God. There's nothing in there that says, You were so important, and you were so smart, and you were so great, and you were so high, and you were so mighty. Nothing about that. It's only God demonstrating his love in Christ. That's why we boast in the Lord today, because of the cross we preach. Not only that, but we boast in the Lord because of the calling that we admit. The calling we admit, verse 26 through 29. Consider your calling, he says, brothers. Simply put, we'd ask it this way. Maybe this is in the white spaces between the print. We'll put it this way. Why do we make our boast in Christ? Answer, Paul says, look around. Do it. I am, look around. This is why we make our boast in Christ. He says, consider your calling, brother. He hasn't called many wise. That's offensive. He hasn't called many powerful. That's offensive. He hasn't called many of noble birth. That's offensive. The only ones that he has called are the foolish in the world's eyes, and the weak in the world's eyes, and the ignoble in the world's eyes, the despised in the world's eyes. Why do we make our boast in Christ? Look around us. What are we going to boast in? Your wisdom? Really? You got it all figured out? You're eternal? You have eternal knowledge of all things. Your wisdom will never fade. Your wisdom will never fail. No. We don't make our boast in our wisdom. We make our boast in our great power. You're going to keep yourself. You're going to keep yourself alive. Listen, most of us barely managed to get dressed this morning and get here in a somewhat timely manner. And we're going to boast in our power? Come on. Your noble birth. Oh, you're just so high and mighty that you've been born into royalty. I don't know that anybody has here. But if you had, what's that going to do? As you trace your noble birth back, there's one thing that you're going to find in each generation. And you know what that is? Death. How far did nobility get you? You're going to die just like they did. We make our boast in Christ because of our calling. Look at us. Look at me. Here's your hope. And everyone goes, oh my goodness. You mean that guy who was just down there picking out the filling with his fingers? Trying to not get the grease all over my suit? Yeah, that's the guy. And we make our boast because of the cross we preach, in Christ because of the cross we preach, because of the calling we admit. But we make our boast, thirdly, in the Lord because of the Christ we've received. I love this. This may be the most important passage here, the most important verse. I want you to look at verse 29 again. So that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, because of who? Who's the antecedent? God, you are in Christ Jesus. Do you see there? He doesn't speak of the gospel as something we have received from Christ, but he speaks of the gospel as receiving Christ himself. And why are you in Christ? You are not in Christ because you had it all figured out up here. Because you could do all the math and the algebra and the trigonometry or whatever else. You're not in Christ because you had it all figured out. You're in Christ because of God. Amen. You're in Christ not because of your noble birth. You're in Christ because of God. You are not in Christ because of your great ability and your amazing achievements. You are only in Christ because God in his sovereignty determined from before the foundation of the world to set his love on you and me, ruined sinners, and to redeem us and place us into Christ.
such that my significance is not holed up in my ability, but my significance is laid up in Christ, who is for me God's wisdom. You want wisdom to get you into heaven? You need God's wisdom. Who is for me God's righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that's why it's written, let him who boasts, boast in him, in the Lord. Let him who boasts, boast that he knows me. Brothers and sisters, on that day when we enter the portals of heaven, there's not going to be one single person in our midst who's going to be able to go in there with our head held high. We all go in the same way on our knees, eternally grateful for the immense mercy of God in Christ. And there's not one single one of us who comes to this table today as a worthy saint in ourselves. Now let's listen to this a minute. Not one single person who comes as a worthy saint in ourselves. We come as a worthy saint, but that's only in Christ. I want to invite you to the Lord's table this morning, not as a great and noble people, not as an incredibly wise people in the world's way of thinking, but I want to invite you as sinners. Sinners as those who come who have been humbled and who have humbled themselves before the great King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I invite you to the table not as those who are hoping in this present world. I invite you to this table not as those who are resting in our achievements and in our strength, not as those who are trusting in our wealth. Rather, I invite you to this table as those who are hungering and thirsting after a righteousness that is not our own. Human wisdom fades. Human worth is shamed. Human works are insufficient. I invite you to this table in Christ. So that we can say, if you're in Christ today, God loves you as much as he loves his own son. He would cast you out as much as he would cast his own son out, and that will never happen. We come not on our own merit, brothers and sisters, but on the merit of Christ. We come as boasters, don't we? But we're not boasting in a golf score. And we're not boasting in grandkids. And we're not boasting in our own greatness. We come boasting in Christ. And the amazing thing is when we do that, each of us individually boasting in Christ, not only for ourselves, but we boast in Christ for each other. Don't we? So there's sort of this reciprocal relationship going on here today that I am saying that I am in Christ and I am reminding you, you're in Christ. And that's what happens as we eat and drink together. Not only am I proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes for me, praise God, we are proclaiming the Lord's death for each other until he comes. And that's what makes this time so important and so good. So I want to invite you to the table this morning, brothers and sisters, as we take time to prepare ourselves this morning, I will remind you that you don't have to be a member of this church to partake. We want to welcome you if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to welcome you if you're a genuine believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to welcome you to this table and understand that this body was broken for you, this blood was shed for you, but we need to take some time to examine ourselves. And during this time, I like to speak to kids. Kids, your parents may decide it's not time for you to partake, and that's good. It's okay.
there will come a time when, as you grow up and as you learn and you develop a genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and understanding, that you'll be able to participate together with the church. But don't think that this is just kind of like a time for you to be absent-minded. I want you to be thinking, all right, everything I say, I want you to listen to. This cracker is going to represent something, and this juice is going to represent something. Just listen. And don't feel bad if you're not to partake. It's okay. Talk to your parents. Use this time to ask them what this is all about. And parents, do not neglect teaching and preaching the gospel to your kids during this time. It's an acceptable time for you to do that. Right now, we're going to take a few moments to examine ourselves, to make sure that we're genuine believers in Christ. Make sure that we're in the faith and that there's nothing standing between us and the cross. If there's any issue of bitterness in your heart, maybe a problem with another brother or sister in Christ, maybe a problem with your own husband or wife. Probably that's the most evident one. Make it right now. Just turn to them right now. Confess your sin. I was an angry person this morning, and that was wrong. Forgive me. You do it right now. Just do it out loud so the people in front of you can hear you and hold you accountable to it. All right? Making sure that we're in the faith, making sure that we're right before the Lord. And those of us who are in the faith, right before the Lord, not that you're perfect, but I welcome you to come to this table. Listen to what the Scriptures says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some of you have died." So he's telling us there to make sure that worthily. That doesn't mean that we deserve it, but the only way that we can come is to come in Christ. To come before the table in Christ. So will you just take a few moments of quiet reflection? Make sure you're in the faith. If there's any area of sin that you need to repent of, to do that. And then the elders will come and we'll distribute the elements together. Thank you.